Okay, we've got some Bibles. We're going to be diving into Matthew. Claire has got some in hand if you need a Bible, or you will open it up on your Bible app, or wherever you may end up with it. I want to some of you heard me this morning, and I just want to kind of talk about money. And the danger about money is that we get a little bit scared by it. And I want us to try and kind of shift that focus of money being a scary thing. Yes, it can be. But I think that we need to have, as followers of Jesus, we need to have a heavenly perspective of what money is and what we get to do with the money that we have earned, okay? So that is where I'm coming from. I'm not coming from we're going to talk about guilt, we're going to talk about pressure, we're going to talk about all these different things, but I really want you to think, wait a minute, is my perspective of money healthy or unhealthy as we journey through today? If you are not part of St. Philip's, that's great, and we bless you in the churches you are in, and maybe this will help you to think about what am I giving into, what is it that God is asking me to give as well. So it doesn't just apply for St. Philip's, this is for the whole of everybody. So Matthew 22, I'm going to give you a bit of context as to where we're at in the story, and then we'll read it together, okay? So Jesus has been quizzed already at the beginning of Matthew 22. He's been quizzed by about religion versus the government, which Chris brought us last week. And Chris brought us some great thoughts last week. These three things came up of grow in our gratitude, which I'm going to touch on a little bit. There is a little bit of dovetailing that we've done. Grow in trust, and as we start to give and we grow in these things, actually we will then start to give our best. If you missed it last week, grab the podcast. It is brilliant. And so this is where Jesus is at. He's been asked about, who should I give my taxes to, and they're trying to trip him up. And then the next bit is he's asked by a bunch of people about this life and the next life and what's it all about and what's going on. And then in come the stormtroopers, the teachers of the law. These are guys who have really poured their lives into what the Old Testament is all about, into their holy scriptures. And then they're there to make Jesus trip up again. Okay, this is where we are up to. So picking it up from verse 34, Matthew 22, 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I'm just going to stop there because there's enough in that for us to look about. I encourage you to read the next bit and to kind of chew out and work out what that bit is, but that's not where I'm going to go. I'm going to come and look at these specific scriptures today. Again, a little bit of background. So the Pharisees had documented, the rabbis had documented around about 613 different commandments that the people had to live by, okay, in the Mosaic law. 248 were positive and the rest were negative. That would be 365. Interestingly, there's that many days in the year. But anyway, and then since no one could possibly keep all of them, they divided them into heavy ones and into light ones. So obviously some it wasn't that important. For others it was really, really, really important. And this question that he's asked is about one of the really heavy ones, like which is the most important? Now, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And love your neighbor. These two, if you go, I was teaching this with some year three children the other week. I was asked to go and talk about the commandments. And I managed to get nine right. and they were on the screen in front of me. But anyway, there was 9 of them, and I got 9 right of the 10. And as you look at this bit of scripture, all of them make absolute sense if you have these two in the right at the beginning. All right, if I love God, I'm not going to need anything else. I'm not going to want anything off anybody else. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to want to kill them. If I have these two things at the solid foundation of everything that I am, everything else, surprisingly enough, Jesus says, it hangs off it. So if we live by these two things, our walk with Jesus is actually going to be a little bit easier. Okay, so I encourage you to do these two things and everything else is going to be great. All right, so love God with everything, love your neighbor as you love yourself, and that would include our wallets and purses, everybody. All right, it's not something separate. This is why we need a heavenly perspective of what money is rather than a negative earthly perspective. The earthly negative perspective is get as much as you can and run to the hills and have a nice house made by Grand Designs. All right, have a beautiful house, do this, do that, have everything in the world. And yet, how many of those people are truly happy? They might have a lovely Instagram post of them driving around in the Ferrari, but are they really happy? Because if we love God and we love us and we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, we find full contentment in that. So this is what a missionary in India who did some incredible work with children in India, Amy Carmichael, she said this: you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. When I came across that the other day, it really hit me. Because we've got a guy who stands outside our Aldi. And I'm quite happy just to throw him a few quid. I don't really love him. And I think there's a challenge. For me, I was challenged by this. I'm not putting this on you. But like, yes, I'm helping him by giving him some cash. But actually, probably I could actually find out what his name is and get to know him a little bit. Find out what he's like, what life is like for him. And actually start to love him for the person that God's created him, rather than just by giving him a couple of quid when I walk in. And my kids go, why did you give that man some money, Daddy? Makes it a bit easier when I can say, well, actually, I know his name. And this is where his life is up to. So if we can give whatever we like, but without loving, but actually if we love God and we love others as we love ourselves, it costs us and it means that we give something of ourselves. And have you noticed that Jesus doesn't talk about the things that come naturally to us? He talks about the things that are really hard. That's what his teaching's about. He's talking about the things that are difficult. You know, he talks about giving quite a lot. The Bible talks about giving quite a lot too. It's obviously important. But I think it's important because we need a different perspective of what it's about. Okay, so we're going to look at this through three things. We're going to go to the past, we're going to go to the present, and we're going to go to the future. So our giving expresses our gratitude to God for the past. Our giving expresses our gratitude to God for the past. You know, thanks and giving go together, all right? We can, when we give back to God, we express our appreciation for what he has given to us. You know, when we have whatever we have, actually, God, when God has given me so much, I can't believe it. Like, the age of 14, I'm sat on a stage behind a drum kit, and there is a sea of boys and girls. I was at a Christian conference. It wasn't just a random thing that I was doing. And I was drumming away, and I just stopped. We were told to stop by the worship leader. And I saw children worshipping God in a way that I'd never experienced before, because my Sunday school upbringing was Argos Catalogue, 1988, and still trying to stick the word Jesus for the 14th week on the row. Like, it wasn't wholly spiritual. Bless her, she had a great hat, but spiritually wise, wasn't a great deal going on in our Sunday school. Yeah, absolutely slow clap. But she served faithfully. At that point, at the age of 14, I had no clue what I was going to get, what I was letting myself in for. But I'm so thankful that I said yes. And I'm so thankful for what God has given me to be able to do. Like, I can't believe what I get to do. If you'd known me at primary school or secondary school, you'd have gone, not a chance would you be able to stand up here without talking really fast and getting really nervous and then stopping. Thanks very much, bye. I was that kid. And it's just, I'm out of that place. I am so thankful for what God has given me. Like, the people around me, my family, my mates, the people here, the people we've got in other places around the world in some respects. Like, it's just amazing. And as we step out and we say yes to God, we give gratitude for what he's given us. So our giving has got to come from a place of gratitude and a place of actually, wow. Okay. 2 Corinthians 9 says this. It says, each of you should give what he has decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. All right. I am thankful. You've probably guessed that. But at the same time, like, God loves it when we give cheerfully, you know? And I'm not suggesting that you skip into church on Sunday morning and go, "Hi, here's my gift." Whoa, ding. All right. But actually, it comes from a place of the heart that goes, yes, I am so thankful that I want to give. And I want to give it back. And so here it is, God. And then a few verses later in verse 11, it says, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Like, wow. Paul really knew what he was talking about, didn't he? You know, but it's because he'd lived it, and the place that he had been into and the place that God had brought him from and to what he was then doing meant that that changed the way that he saw what he had and what he gave back to God. So that's the past, all right? Are you thankful? Like, think what your life would be like if you didn't follow Jesus, given if you do. That's the past. Today, our giving expresses our priorities in the present. So I thought what we'd do is I'd tell you why you shouldn't give, all right? And then I'll guilt trip you. No, I won't. I'll leave it up to you, because at the end of the day, it is a heart thing. So here are the reasons why you should not give. Number one is pressure. All right. It is not about putting you under pressure. We were walking around Manchester on Friday, and there was a bunch of guys out there talking about a really great cause, some great charity. And they were just having random conversations, it seemed at times, with themselves. You know, you've seen those guys. Oh, hi, how are you doing? Oh, okay, thanks very much. Bye. Because everybody's into just ignoring them. You know those types of people that you see in town? And thankfully, I think they saw that we had our kids with us, and so they were like, not a chance, we're going to talk to them. So we just walked on by. They kind of put you under this pressure, like, this is what the circumstance is, and please will you give. And it's almost like they put you under this huge amount of pressure. But that isn't what 2 Corinthians says. It says, don't give under compulsion. So don't give it if you feel under pressure to give it. Next one, pride. If we give to get a plaque on the chair that you're sat on, you're in it for the wrong thing. If we're in it to go, hey, check me out, look, I've given this amount of money. Like, I remember, got me into trouble this, but I remember back in the early days of my ministry that I'd been given a gift by, I'd been left some money by a great grandparent. And at the time I was working for an organization. And I sensed and I felt as though God said, look, give it away. You've received it, give it away. So I gave it away to the organization that I was working for. That did not go down very well with my mother, because it was from her side of the family, and we call their side, her side of the family, the royals. And so I've never told my grandpa where that money has gone, but they decided with the money they were able to buy something like a pretty big part of equipment, and. And I was expecting, the next time that I saw the group, that they would all bow down and worship me for what I had given. Nope, they didn't. Because, and it taught me a little lesson in that, like, wait a minute, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the heart of where it's coming from. So don't give out of pride. Give what is, you know, Matthew 6, 4, 1 to 4 talks about giving in the secret. Last week we looked at this with the youth, like, how can you not let your left arm know what your right arm's doing? Like, it's an impossibility, but it's supposed to be done in the secret, not in the way of pride. Thirdly, don't give out of guilt. Really don't. That's a bad thing to give from. Like, you feel guilted and, oh, I can't do that, oh, I've got to. No, you really don't. We've got to be good stewards with what we've got. And God's given it us and entrusted it to us, and we need to give out of the right motivation. In that little story I just told you, like, my heart was, it was right. Like, I felt as though God had called me to do it, so I did it. It was out of the right motivation, but then I twisted it, thinking that No. Doesn't come from that place. And then finally, not geed, but eed, greed. All right? Greed. Okay? Luke 6:38 can be wrongly used and wrongly twisted. Okay? Give and it will be given to you. Don't give so that you get more back. Because again, that's the wrong place of the heart. Okay, we don't give so that we get more back. Okay, the widow did not give her coin so that she would get thousands back. She gave it because she gave it. And as followers of Christ, if we can get this perspective of what money is and actually take it on a part of our journey, of our discipleship, actually it becomes a lot easier. I was shocked to work out that last week, in nearly 20 years of worth of ministry with children and young people, I'd never really talked about giving with children and young people. And I kind of beat myself up about it a little bit, and then I got myself together and talked about the selfish giant, and it was brilliant. But talking to children about giving, if we can get it into our children early about what giving is, if we set that standard now, it's a lot easier when they grow up. Because it becomes a norm. It's one of the biggest lessons that I remember my parents teaching me, as well as other things, which I'm very thankful for. But let's not give out of those four things. But in actual fact, let's give of a place of giving our first fruits. Deuteronomy 14:23 talks about our tithe. It talks about that 10%, that first to God. 10% isn't a law, it's a principle. So if we can give more than that 10%, brilliant. If we can't really get to that 10%, that's okay, because it comes from our heart. And if that's the first that we can give, then let's give it. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says this. This is Paul again writing to Corinth. They're obviously struggling a little bit with money. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. It's just one of those kind of, look, you've earned your money this week, give it straight back to God. I'm trying to work this out with our six-year-old at the moment, and because their youth worker told them that they should be ask their parents about pocket money. Honestly, what a daft idea that was of the youth worker. That is me. And so she's like, well, that means I don't get the full thing. I'm like, yeah, I know, but actually it's about us saying to God, look, God, we love you and we want to give back what we have. And he asks as a principle that we give 10%. So that would be like, if you got a pound, should be lucky, then that's 10p. Huh? Right? It's just, we've got a lot to teach her about perspective on money and different things like that. But actually, you know, where your treasure is, Jesus says, there your heart is also. My days, we get that right in the church, everything's going to be a little bit easier. Just think how different the world would be if we had that perspective on things. Not just in the church, but in the world. That is the present. That sets our priorities for now. But then what about the future? Now, money's changed, doesn't it? Like, my children can't get over the fact that you walk up to a funny card machine and you just go, bleep. And you walk away. And they're like, my play shop doesn't have that, Daddy. No, it doesn't. You're not robbing me anymore of that stuff. Because nowadays, we don't even see it, do we? But actually, I think as we look at money and as we look into the future, as fast as technology is moving with banking and all that kind of stuff, actually, when we look at what God says about money in Malachi, he says this, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room to store it. Wow. If we are willing to give, then he's going to open the floodgates. He says, come on, then bring it on. Like, there's that awful Christian t-shirt, does my faith look big in this? And God is pretty much putting that on and going, tell you what, you bring your offering to me and just watch what I do with what I'm going to do with it. Because he can do so much more. In our giving leaflet, it looks like we're really pushing the boundaries. We're pushing the boundaries because we've got a really big vision of what we long to see. We truly do believe that we will see Greater Manchester changed. All right, that's what we're here for. We're not here to have a nice little holy huddle. If we're here to have a nice holy huddle, great, we're doing okay, thanks very much. But we're not here for that. We're here for more. We're here for bigger. And that does mean that we do have to have some money behind it. This does not come from a place of pressure or guilt or all those other things that I've talked about. It comes from a place of actually saying, God, I'm going to bring my tithe to you because I trust and I believe in you. And then I'm going to stand back and I'm going to watch what it is that you're going to do. Put your stick in the water, Moses. Sorry, what? Put your stick in the water. Sorry? Just do it and watch what I'm going to do. Have a nice little walk through the middle of the ocean. God does challenge us. And he does say, will you trust me? So this week, those of us who are members of this church, I encourage you to pray and to see what it is that God's asking you to give. Because he may say, I want you to give a certain amount of money. And you'd be like, really? But he says, bring it and watch what I will do. That doesn't mean we go daft. That doesn't mean that we just pick out a number from midair. No, no, no. We pray about it. We seek and we will find. Because when you think about it, to love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, it does cost us. But it cost God everything, didn't it? It cost God so much more because he allowed his son to do what he did so that we can have a relationship with him again. And if we look at it from that perspective, the money that we bring next week kind of falls into some insignificance because we've sung about it. I surrender everything. If we surrender everything, that does include our money as well. Amy Carmichael, she said, you can give without love, but you can't love without giving. So we're going to enter a time of prayer and response. And some of us, we've sung these songs and we're like, we don't even know who this Jesus guy is. Like, he talks some quite good stuff, I think, but I'd love to know him. You know, what is it that cost him? What does that mean? I would love to talk to you and introduce Jesus to you tonight. You also just, we don't just want to create a place where we have, we always come to God with an issue. We want to create a place of thanksgiving. And so you just want to come and be prayed for about giving thanks to God. Brilliant, that's what we want as well. And then maybe there are, as we've talked about it, maybe it's here in this church, maybe it's in the church that you're part of, but you need more faith and you need to trust God for something else. And it's not just about money, this stuff. Like, if we love God with everything, our time, what we give, our service in our churches, in our areas, in our communities, maybe there's stuff in that as well. So, you want to know Jesus? Maybe you just want to come and give thanks. Or maybe you need to have faith for something.